Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time to head on out to the BetQL guest hotline. We're going to say good morning to America's greatest export. It's Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent.
What's up, Peter? Peter?
Pete, good morning.
All right, hold on.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Of course.
How's it been for the first almost a week?
It has been downright exhausting, the hours. Again, I told you guys, but I'll just say them again for those who maybe didn't hear my successful first hit. We are working the Primetime in Paris show hosted by Mike Tirico. That is on from 8 to 11 in America. The issue is that it's on from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. in Paris. So we're getting in around 3:30, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. We're working straight through the night. We leave around 5:15, and my fellow researcher and I, we just like zombie walk through the streets of Paris. We've almost got hit by cars. We're tripping. We're falling. We have no idea where we're going. We're probably ripe for pickpocketers. So it's very tiring, but working with Tirico is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and kind of following these games, seeing up close how it's all put on, has just been downright sick.
How many TVs / monitors where you are for the most part in that studio are there? Are you able to watch a lot of the games?
Yes, it's like the most nerdy sports bar you've ever been in that they don't have any chicken wings or beer or burgers or nachos. But there are so many screens. We have every camera angle you could imagine. We have this little computer next to us, a touch screen, where we can control what's going on. So if we see that the handball game is coming down to the final seconds, boom, handball's on. If we see that there's a giant wave in surfing, all right, we want that on. If Tirico wants to see something in gymnastics, we can do it. So it's like a command center. And I don't know if you guys have watched the show, but our set is like just it'll make your jaw just smash into the ground. It is right in front of the Eiffel Tower. So I took a video a couple nights ago of Tirico hosting the show. I pan a little bit to the right, and there's the glowing Eiffel Tower. It is so damn cool. And it's just these two icons, a television icon and a landmark icon, working together in concert to just make like a really cool show. So yeah, it's an awesome offer.
Hey, Pete, how has your life changed since your star turn a couple of nights ago when Tirico was walking through the, I think you guys took over like a restaurant or a kitchen, and then he walks right by Pedro Haley, just tapping away on the keyboard, and he gives you a shout out on NBC. That's big.
It was so big. Yeah, to make sure I had nothing naughty going on in my browser, with Tirico walking by and millions of people watching. But yeah, that was cool. We had, so it was like a little, the show opened. Oh no, it was before a highlight package. So Tirico was kind of establishing, hey, we're in this really foofy restaurant, but we've just taken it over, made it NBC's Parisian headquarters. He walks through, and then me and the other researcher, Jake, are there, and he walks by and he says, yep, got my guy Pete, and he pats me on the back and he goes, there's my right hand man Jake. And I told my whole family to watch. They're fired up. A bunch of other people texted me. JP and Mitch Tischler, my buddies, were nice enough to tweet the clip. So that was very, very fun. And Tirico is the best. It's like watching Johann Sebastian Bach play piano. I mean, he is so good at what he does. He is so knowledgeable. Imagine he has to be in charge of 30 plus Olympic sports. He has to be able to talk for 3 hours every single night. He's also on the daytime show for 3 to 4 hours. He's on TV about 8 hours a day. And oh, by the way, last weekend, or maybe 2 weekends ago, I guess it was now, he was hosting the Open Championship coverage. Right. And he's got to get ready for Sunday Night Football, which is a massive property. So he is just gifted, and he's really, really cool, really down to earth, talks to everybody, from me, who he didn't know a week ago, to, you know, the camera guy, to the big wigs. I mean, he just interacts with everybody. So that's been one of the true treats of this.
Well, that's
gig.
Why he makes probably $20 million a year.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I don't know him well enough to make jokes about his finances or anything.
He's doing okay.
Sure, he is well. I'm sure he's well paid for his services, as he should be.
Yep.
He's
the
man.
Hey, what did you think of the first men's hoops game? And Jason Tatum did not play. Now Steve Kerr said that Tatum's going to play in the second game. And I understand, you know, you've got 12 guys and it's a 40-minute game. It's tough to get everybody in. But Tatum is, you know, first team all NBA, and he won an NBA championship. I just thought it was interesting that he didn't get 1 minute.
Yeah, it's certainly strange, especially, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but Derek White is playing a bunch, and I know it's about chemistry more so than, like, profile on this team, but it just felt like Steve Kerr was intentionally, unintentionally, maybe just forgot, like, Tatum is there, but welcoming a little bit of controversy. It's not like they were in a tight game where putting Tatum in the lineup was going to affect things. And, yeah, I mean, you got LeBron, you got KD, you got these old legends who've been playing for years and years out there, maybe try and save their legs a little bit and let guys like Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton play a little more. So that certainly was a bit of a strange storyline. Kerr's promise that he's going to play him this next game. So we'll see if Tatum comes out with a little bit of a vengeance. And speaking of basketball, today is the beginning of 3x3, both men's and women's. The men play Serbia, who are basically the dream team in the 3x3 world. And of course, that means Jimmer Fredette taking the court, the BYU three-point shooting maestro.
Right.
I think he's 35 years old now, if you want to feel kind of okay. So he's like to talk about get your coffin ready. Maybe you want to do that because Jimmer Fredette is 35. But him playing 3x3, I think Rick Barry's, I don't know if it's his son or grandson, Canyon Barry, is also on the team, or he's related to the Barry family somehow. So the 3x3 basketball, men's and women's going on. You got men's and women's regular hoops too. So plenty of action going on for JP, who just loves the hardwood.
Hold on. We can't call it 3-on-3. We have to call it 3x3 now. Is that the
deal?
Yeah,
I know. I'm pushing up my nerd glasses at the bridge of my nose when I say this, but I just want to be very clear, guys. It is 3x3. It's in our manuals. It's on our sheet. Very, very important. Not 3-on-3. And I accidentally said 3x3 a couple days ago in the office, and I almost got sent to the guillotine. People care. It is 3x3, damn it.
Do they play make it, take it in 3x3?
So I knew that was going to be asked. So let me pull up the rules here. So it's on a half court, of course.
They check the ball on each other.
Yeah, you like no chicken legs. Don't throw it at my leg. Okay, so the court. Let's see. I'm just killing. Okay. Play is generally more physical than in 5-on-5. There's more contact usually necessary. The game is 10 minutes long, 12-second shot clock. First team to 21 wins. And I don't want to waste your time trying to figure out if it's make it, take it. But
I'm guessing it's not. I've watched Ice Cube's version, and it's not make it, take it. I mean, we grew up playing make it, take it. I wanted to ask you about the triathlon. Now, I wouldn't watch the triathlon, but I'm intrigued by the storyline that the river is too dirty. So infested by bacteria that these triathletes can't swim. What's going on there?
Yes, so the River Seine is where the triathlon is expected to take place. And there's a lot of E. coli going on in the Seine. And they test it every night at 3:30 a.m. right in the middle of our show. And if the levels are bad, then they have to postpone it and push it back. And they tested 4 different points of the Seine last night. Only 1 point came back in the okay zone. 2 of them were slightly not okay, and the third one was very not okay. And what's scaring the French officials is that tonight, Tuesday night, there's going to be a rainstorm, and when the rain comes, that pushes all the cigarette ashes and the litter and all the crap from the streets into the water, and it makes it even dirtier. So they're very nervous about it, and they're, if it continues to get this bad, they might just have to turn the triathlon into a biathlon and have no swimming.
Yeah. That's so a lot of chlorine.
They might use one of the 3 legs.
Hey, Pete, you know what? You know what Jason's way more nervous about? Australia leading Canada by 4 right now.
I knew I was going to lose that.
He's going to crush his 6-leg parlay if that doesn't
come
through.
Sleep on Josh Giddey.
It's not great for him.
Yeah, Jason, I'm sorry to hear that. I have no real file on that, so I'm just going to say sorry. And I love that you're betting. It is fun, the Olympics.
I bet the Olympics every day. I mean, I do.
The betting is exceptional. The betting opportunities is great. I don't really have any winners for you today, so I can't really help you out. But yeah, Jason, just you'll be fine. I'm sure you put like $3 to win $920, and your FanDuel account is going to be okay whether you win or not.
All right, I'll say this: it's $49.45 at half. All right, and I put $29 to win $98.
See?
Just FYI,
you're all over.
Oh, Oh, you loved this
but
play.
I just
this
thought,
is a whale play.
I just thought SGA was going to be the man, and he would just dominate Canada or Australia. So,
hey, who's your favorite athlete so far? I'll say there's a 61-year-old ping pong or table tennis player. That's big time.
I know. I was watching table tennis a couple days ago, and I saw a woman who looked to be a little older, and I said, whoa, she looks like, what? How old is she? She was 46, and then I learned there's a 61-year-old. So that 46-year-old might be in her prime. So last night, we were sitting in our studios doing our thing, and the men's gymnastics team came by after winning bronze for the first time.
The kid
with
glasses.
Men's gymnastics, yeah, had medaled since 2008. And this kid with glasses, Steven Nedorosic, he's a pommel horse specialist. Yes. He doesn't do anything else. He just does the pommel horse. The guys on the broadcast were comparing him to an NFL kicker. So during the competition yesterday, everybody's doing every event, and this guy, who looks like McLovin, I kept calling him McLovin, is just sitting there waiting to do the pommel horse at the end. And the entire country's hopes came down on his shoulders. He'd apparently screwed up in the situation a couple times before, but he nailed the pommel horse. Earlier that day, he had posted on Instagram that he did a Rubik's Cube in 9.3 seconds. So he had a hell of a day. And they came by, and they look, I mean, they are ripped. Their arms are nasty. But then they came by in their tracksuits, and they were like 5'5". They were so tiny.
Of course,
and
they're short.
It was crazy.
You could post them up.
I know. Okay, JP. I just was impressed by how little they look. Because on screen, you see their shoulders. They look like linebackers, but then they pop on by, and they're very tiny. But Steven Nedorosic, McLovin, he was my favorite. Cause I like that he just is like, no, I'm not going to do the vault. I'm not going to do the stupid uneven bars. I'm going to do the pommel horse. Call me when you need me. Until then, I'm going to be sitting over here toying around with my Rubik's Cube.
I mean, don't most of the gymnasts, aren't they well-rounded? He's just a full-blown specialist. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Apparently, when he was a kid, specialist. He was silly at the pommel horse.
Okay. All right.
He does a one-arm spin, man. Yeah. I don't know. I watch it. Your boy Mike Tirico was fired up about that
last
night.
Those guys are incredible.
I couldn't do a Rubik's Cube in 9.3 years. I'm more impressed by that feat. He does it in 9
seconds. Well, you can't
seconds.
Even do a side,
I can't
right?
even get a side, Pete. I don't know what to tell you. My brain doesn't work that way.
Hey, so Pete,
you and me both.
What are some of the other, I mean, it seems like swimming's every day, so I know there's a couple other finals today, but what are some of the other events today you're looking forward to?
Very good question. So yeah, tonight, we'll start with swimming. The women's 100-meter backstroke finals features the four fastest women in the world, including Reagan Smith of America, 22-year-old, and Australians McEwen. These two have been trading world records back and forth. It exchanges hands by like 0.02 of a second. They are on each other's ass, and they are going to have a really good race. So that's going to be a fun one to watch in the pool. Men, if they play Guinea, they have to win and have a better result than New Zealand to advance to the knockout stage for the first time since 2000. And in the group stage format, that's the only time since the 1960s that America has made it to the knockout stage in men's soccer. So that's a big one. And on the tennis courts of Roland Garros, Andy Murray is looking to extend his career. Not exactly a legend, but a tennis great. And he's in doubles. And him and his doubles partner fended off 5 match points in a row in their last appearance a couple days ago. And Andy Murray said this is it for him. So whatever match he plays could be his last. His partner said he was basically trying not to crap his pants and lose it. So Andy Murray's career just ended right in front of him. So I think that's very fun. We saw Nadal lose to Joker yesterday. He's still in doubles with Alcaraz. So, the women's 100 back is the best in the pool. Men's soccer, if you like footy, they got a big one. And then Andy Murray, a bunch of stuff going on. A tennis, there's plenty. And I'm excited, like I said, on 3x3. And by the way, I'm still trying to figure out if it's make it, take it. I'm reading this manual. I can't.
It's not.
I think it's
not.
All possession.
You're wasting your time, Pete.
We're talking to Pete Haley. He's in Paris covering the Olympics for NBC. Who's this American rugby woman that went like beast mode?
Oh, she's a big girl.
Alona Mar. She is the star. Mar is the star, not Michael Mar, by the way. Not related, I don't believe. She would kill Michael Mar and eat his bones for lunch and dinner. She is really cool. Rugby, so they play rugby sevens as opposed to rugby union, which is rugby 15. A lot more open space, a lot more chance to run wild. The U.S. team plays New Zealand in the semis. New Zealand is beating their opponents by more than 36 points per game. They're the defending gold medalists. So the U.S. is definitely underdogs. But Alona Mar is a megastar. She went viral for a bunch of her plays. They were showing Derrick Henry at Ravens camp, some of the stuff she was doing. He was loving it. Jason Kelce over here in Paris. He's becoming a rugby super fan. So they have a really big one against New Zealand. We'll see if they can pull it off. And what's cool about rugby, and I didn't realize this, among many other things I haven't realized, is they play twice a day. And their games are quick, 14 minutes, a couple halves. But these games are obviously extremely physical. And then they come out like 3 hours later and play another one. So the U.S. rugby women, of course, are way stronger, more physical, and better athletically than any of us talking on the phone right now. And they're going to try and make it to the gold medal match later this evening.
Yeah, I saw the New Zealand women's rugby 7 team beat China 55-5.
No.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they are just a bunch of studs.
Isn't that basically 11-1? Is the scores by fives?
I don't know.
Sounds right to me.
A try is five. What is the equivalent to an extra point is two. There's also a three-pointer. You can, like, kick it. I don't know. But I don't know when or where you decide to kick it. Rugby is still. It seems like they just lateral it back and forth right. Side to side until somebody just decides to run through someone. And then there's all these scrum. I've tried to watch it. I haven't really heard it with commentary. That would definitely help. But it's cool. And rugby 7 seems to be better than 15s because a little more of a free-flowing game. If you like overs, I think rugby 7 is your play. If you like unders, rugby union, that's your joint.
Nice. All right. Hey, Pete, Valdez wanted to know why they're making the pool slower. What's going on over there in France? Can you explain?
I didn't know that they were making the pool slower. That sounds like a really good conspiracy theory. I'm typing in making pool slower. Yeah. Oh, wow. And the first thing on YouTube is the Paris Olympic pool slow.
See?
Okay, well, Valdez, stop trying to take my job. I'm over here in Paris. And you put my nose to the grindstone, focusing on 30 sports.
I know.
Meanwhile, Valdez is just doing one thing, trying to make me look like an idiot. I don't appreciate it.
I know. Tirico texted me and asked for some nuggets.
Yeah.
He asked for some nuggets and some Pinot Noir recommendations.
Yeah, I haven't been able to give him either. Tirico. He's going around my back. He must think I'm an absolute loser. It has been a little bit of pressure. Like, I'm trying to pick my spots with him to, like, add ideas and talk without, like, overdoing it so he doesn't look at me and say, hey, just get the hell out of my face. I know what's going on. But it sucks to hear that he's gotten Valdez's number and he's talking to him about the pool being slower. I've got some reading to do.
I think it's just that the pool is a little deeper. I think it's deeper than a typical.
I think it's shallower. It's shallower than usual, which makes slows the pool down.
Pedro,
now I'm doing more research than you.
So it's more shallow that's affecting it? All right.
I'm going to take my passport out, come back home. Why am I even here? You guys got it all covered. Yeah, that sucks. By the way, the one thing I love, we have Snoop Dogg on a lot of the time, a lot of nights here. I mean, I'm just not speaking very good English. Snoop Dogg comes on, and he like kind of does this kind of fun package where it's featuring the quirkier highlights. And somebody's swimming cap fell off a couple nights ago in the pool.
Yeah.
And they have this guy come out in like a pink and yellow Speedo. He's got the biggest beer belly, and he like does a graceful dive and swims over and gets the cap out. It's so funny. So I enjoyed that part. So maybe that guy's big cannonball pushed all the water out of the pool. Now it's shallower and it's affecting everybody.
There you have it.
It's a good theory.
A large man. Yeah, there you go. I just solved it. Take that, Valdez.
Yep.
Go back to your Crabs and Orioles starting pitching. Those are your areas of expertise.
All right, Pete, we love the updates, man.
He's not
wrong. Appreciate it. And we'll hear from you again soon from Paris.
Yeah, I'd love to talk one more time. We got about 13 days left, plenty more to go, track and field. We'll see if this triathlon ever happens or if the sun is just filled with poop particles. But happy to come on whenever, guys. Thanks,
Pete. We love
great stuff, man.
That's Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent, checking in from France. When we come back, we're going to take your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Did the Nats make the right move getting rid of Lane Thomas before the trade deadline? Are you happy with the return that's coming the Nats way? We'll take your calls on that next at 800-636-1067.